I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 21st, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's story was taken from the website of P.P. Simmons. The title, Atheism's Disturbing Doctrines and Tenets. This will be part one of two. Simmons begins, one of the characteristics of atheism that is immediately noticeable is the overwhelming amount of foul language that is used. Even the most educated among them seem to suffer from the affliction of Tourette's syndrome. Simmons, here's a snippet about Tourette's taken from Wikipedia. Tourette's was once considered a rare and bizarre syndrome, most often associated with the exclamation of obscene words or socially inappropriate and derogatory remarks. But this symptom is present in only a small minority of people with Tourette's. Simmons, trying to connect Tourette's with the use of foul language reveals that you haven't even done the basic research on the subject you are trying to discuss. You're off to a great start, Simmons. He continues, as much as I hate to do it, I was forced on a couple of occasions to delete comments due to their graphic content. I have to repeatedly remind these self-proclaimed animals that foul language and belittling others in order to prop yourself up are leading indicators of a lesser intelligence. Now we get into the meat of the issue as far as mental dysfunction is concerned. Atheists repeatedly deny that atheism is a religion. Simmons, go to the thesaurus tab at dictionary.com. Type in atheism. Scroll down to antonyms, and you should be able to locate the word religion. Now go to the dictionary tab and type in the word antonym. Atheists don't need to deny that atheism is a religion. Mr. Webster has already done that. There is no escape, Simmons. You are dead wrong. He said, that is a classic delusion. Simmons, you believe in invisible ghosts, and you talk to them. You wouldn't recognize a delusion if it smacked you upside the head. Simmons goes on, it reminds me of Saddam Hussein's press secretary, affectionately known as Baghdad Bob, telling reporters in an outdoor press conference that U.S. tanks had not entered the Capitol, while in the background the entire world witnessed United States Army tanks rolling through town right behind him. Simmons, you can't see it, can you? He denies things that are there, and you believe in things that aren't. You two guys are opposite sides of the same delusional coin. That's why you are trying to convince others that atheists are delusional. It is a distraction technique designed to draw attention away from the fact that your beliefs define delusion. He continues, well, Baghdad Bob could probably be excused for his deceit, considering the circumstances. But is there any real excuse for the atheist besides severe mental illness? No. Simmons, remember earlier when you said, quote, belittling others in order to prop yourself up are leading indicators of a lesser intelligence? It's hard to believe you could make that statement and then follow it up by calling atheists mentally ill. All you accomplished was to show everyone that by your own standards, you are a lesser intelligence. Now, let's see what really constitutes mental illness. From dictionary.com, mental illness. Any of the various forms of psychosis or severe neurosis. Okay, so let's look up psychosis. A mental disorder characterized by symptoms such as delusions or hallucinations that indicate impaired contact with reality. Simmons, you did say you had a personal relationship with your invisible ghost, didn't you? You know, Simmons, You remind me a lot of Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Simmons continues, their attempts to hide behind the cloak of non-religion have failed miserably. One atheist will say, we have no belief in any God, so we have no religion. And recently another atheist commented, there is no way that God could possibly exist, which is a classic positive assertion of a negative belief. It confirms the religious nature of atheism because in order to know that there is no way God can exist, a person would have to know everything there is to know about everything and have been everywhere in the universe and beyond. Simmons, you ignored the first comment because it's true and you have no answer for it. The second comment didn't confirm any religious nature for atheism. It only confirmed that some atheists can be as ignorant as ghost worshippers. He said, that requires a little more faith than I am willing to give it and still not refer to it as a religion. Simmons, go back to the dictionary and read the definition for atheist 100 times if you have to. Then write it on the chalkboard 100 times if necessary. You know, Simmons, my guess is it still wouldn't sink in. He said, and by the way, Buddhists don't believe in God either, and society has no problem calling it a religion. Simmons, once again you've tried to connect 2 unrelated ideas. Neither Buddhists nor atheists believe in God. Yet, as you just admitted, Buddhism is considered a religion. And as the dictionary just proved, atheism is not. Therefore, atheism has as much in common with Buddhism as it does with soccer. Simmons said, now moving right along here, there are some disturbing doctrines within the religion of atheism that are cause for concern. Simmons, your false premise that atheism is a religion nullifies any conclusions you may draw from your misrepresentation of atheism. In addition, there are no doctrines associated with the rejection of nonsense. He said, it has been brought up repeatedly that since atheism teaches that humans are nothing more than animals, wrong, Simmons. Atheism doesn't teach that. Biology does. Go back to the definition of atheism. You will find no mention of animals. The fact that you do not accept that humans are animals should bring an intense degree of embarrassment to your former science teachers. Simmons said, it would be completely acceptable for one human being to eat another if it was a matter of life and death. Simmons, since your premise about what atheism teaches was incorrect, your conclusion, cannibalism, is meaningless. He said, I believe the theological word for this doctrine is cannibalism. Simmons, you were correct when you referred to the doctrine of cannibalism as a theological word, but since you Christians rarely exhibit any knowledge of what's in your own Bibles, allow me to show you why you just stepped in your own poop. From Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 10, therefore the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments in thee. And the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. Simmons, that was your God speaking. The ghost you worship threatened to make family members eat each other if they did not worship him. Simmons, how could any sane person worship such a vile monster? Well, Simmons, how can you? And you called atheism a mental dysfunction? How sick do you have to be to worship a monster who would make people eat their own family members? That is why you accuse non-believers of being mentally ill, because you are trying to put them on the defense in order to distract them from the fact that you people are the sickest puppies on the planet. He said, this acceptance of cannibalism as a religious tenet really does confirm the old saying, if you remove God from academia, the best one could ever hope to achieve is to end up with highly educated barbarians. Simmons, as I just proved, you are the one who accepts cannibalism. To prove I'm correct, I will ask you if your God is wrong. to make fathers eat their sons. We all know that you would never say it's wrong. You can't, Simmons, because you believe this evil monster is sitting right there beside you, listening to everything you say and think. You will defend cannibalism. Damn, you people make this so easy. Didn't anyone ever teach you to keep your guard up? He adds, the acceptance of the doctrine of cannibalism into the religion of atheism is the fulfillment of that statement. Simmons, if nothing else, you're proving that you have no idea what's in your own Bible. And now P.P. Simmons discusses naturalism. Naturalism is a philosophy. It is embraced by every atheist. Here's how Dictionary.com defines naturalism in the context of our discussion. Now he quotes the definition of philosophy from Dictionary.com. Number 4. Philosophy. A. The view of the world that takes account only of natural elements and forces, excluding the supernatural or spiritual. B. The belief that all phenomena are covered by laws of science and that all teleological explanations are therefore without value. He said, not only does naturalism deny the existence of God, but it also declares the non-existence of any other realm except the natural. Simmons, if you didn't live in fantasy land, you might be able to see just how accurately that definition described reality. He said, therefore, by embracing the philosophy of naturalism, atheists have come up with several pseudo-qualifiers which have enabled them to be embraced by society. Simmons, which society are you claiming embraces atheists? I hope you're not going to say America. He said, the sub-doctrine of evolution by natural selection is perhaps chief among them. The apologists of atheism use incredibly harsh tactics to put unbelievers in their place. Simmons, harsh tactics are unnecessary. Ghost worshippers have been put in their place by the fact that they haven't produced one single shred of evidence to support their claims. That is why rational people, people like me, ridicule them, people like you. And Simmons, before calling ridicule harsh, you should revisit Christian history and you will learn what harsh really means. For example, crusades, inquisitions, witch burnings, stonings and beheadings. Those victims would gladly have settled for ridicule. Be grateful that we don't treat you the way you have treated us. Okay, Simmons said, they use their time in indoctrination mills to nurse from the breast of elitism and embrace the illusion of intellectual superiority while ingesting the talking points they will later use on people like me. Simmons, intellectual superiority over people like you is not an illusion. He said, as an observer of the human condition, I see how people, when confronted with the notion that there is no other reality than the natural, simply shake their heads in unbelief and walk away disturbed that anyone would believe such nonsense. And yet the ranks are swelling among the atheists. Why? How is this happening? Are they succeeding at displacing reality? Simmons, they are succeeding at exposing reality. That is why ghost worship is falling worldwide. Simmons said, these apparent victories are signs of the soon return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Simmons, what do you base that assertion on? The Bible? That book that has never been right about anything? Besides, it's a little late for the soon return of Jesus Christ. He left 2,000 years ago and never came back. I think soon passed a long time ago. Didn't he tell his disciples that he would return while some of them were still alive? Simmons, I think that answer would be yes. He said, it is part of the strong delusion and great falling away that must happen before his coming. People will mock Christianity and say things like, where is the promise of his coming? According to Peter, we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. The devil is playing his flute, and people are dancing in his shadow like pigs to the slaughterhouse. Simmons, so your God is watching while countless humans dance into the slaughterhouse? You would think that an all-powerful, loving God could have come up with a better plan. Hell, even I could have come up with a better plan. His next topic is liberalism. He begins, "Now I know that many atheists have never heard of these doctrines, but that is irrelevant. Simmons, do us all a favor and use a spell checker before you post this crap to the internet for everyone to see. Christians and grammar are like the Hatfields and the McCoys, always at war." And I'm referring to how he spelled irrelevant, which is in the Word document associated with this podcast. He continues, "If you were to ask a room full of Calvinists what the 5 points of Calvinism are, you would receive a room full of blank stares in return for your effort. Simmons, and if you asked a room full of Christians what's in their Bibles, you'd get the same result." He said, "The fourth doctrine of atheism surfaced almost immediately. It is the doctrine of liberalism. Simmons, you are simply making this stuff up. There are no atheist doctrines." He said, "Let's allow dictionary.com to define it for us." Interesting, Simmons. All of a sudden, you have access to a dictionary again. That must mean you are going to try to misrepresent another word. Now he quotes the definition for liberalism, a political or social philosophy advocating the freedom of the individual, parliamentary systems of government, nonviolent modification of political, social, or economic institutions to assure unrestricted development in all spheres of human endeavor, and governmental guarantees of individual rights and civil liberties. Wow, Simmons, that sounds terrible. He said the key word in that entire definition is the word unrestricted. Simmons, the period goes inside the quotes. "I let it go the first time. Don't you have a dictionary with a grammar section?" He said, "Atheists want to live without moral or social boundaries dictated to them by a greater moral authority." Simmons, we do not consider your invisible friend a greater moral authority. Our social boundaries are dictated by laws created by real flesh and blood humans. Simmons said, "In their defeated minds, God doesn't exist, so his statutes are meaningless." Simmons, if we don't believe that your God exists, why would his statutes have meaning? Simmons continues, "Everything becomes subjected to circumstance. I once listened to well-known atheist apologist Dan Barker explain the set of events that would make rape a morally acceptable act. Hey Simmons, if that were true, then it would let your God off the hook for all the women he ordered to be raped in his autobiography. I hope you were writing them down as Dan gave them to you." Simmons said, "The doctrine of liberalism has led to the modern holocaust of abortion." Simmons, your ghost aborts over 50 million fetuses every year. But you aren't going to ask him about that, are you, Simmons? Hey, there's an idea for you. Next time you pray to your invisible ghost, ask him why he murders so many helpless little fetuses every year. But if I were you, Simmons, before you get down on your knees, you might want to dig through your old Little League gear and put on your face mask. Simmons said, "The doctrine of liberalism has also led to the destruction of the traditional family." Simmons, if you ever do get around to reading your Bible, you should see how many traditional families were murdered by your invisible ghost. I think that was his favorite hobby. Simmons said, "As Margaret Thatcher once said, the facts of life are conservative." To which Simmons adds, "Liberalism removes humanity's preservative and leaves it out on the table to rot. The foul stench of the decay is on full display in the comment sections of my website, which I will not be quoting here." So, Simmons, what should we have conserved? Slavery? Preventing women from voting? Working outside the home? Stoning people to death? Burning witches? Simmons concludes part one. "The rotten language spewing forth from these self-proclaimed animals is evidence enough to indict them all of destroying whatever dignity the Western world once possessed." Simmons, so you are now claiming that atheists, who make up only a few percent of the population, have destroyed all the dignity of the Western world? Simmons, Pat Robertson just phoned. He wants his brain back. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, Piranha versus Arapaima. Engineers find inspiration for new materials in piranha-proof armor. It's a matchup worthy of a late-night cable movie. Put a school of starving piranha and a 300-pound fish together, and who comes out the winner? The surprising answer, given the notorious guillotine-like bite of the piranha, is Brazil's massive Arapaima fish. The secret to Arapaima's success lies in its intricately designed scales, which could provide bio-inspiration for engineers looking to develop flexible ceramics. Researchers set up a lab experiment that pits piranha against Arapaima by using a machine that resembles an industrial-strength hole punch. Piranha teeth were attached to the top punch, which was pressed down into Arapaima scales embedded in a soft rubber surface, which mimics the soft underlying muscle on the fish on the lower punch. The teeth can partially penetrate the scale, but crack before they can puncture the muscle. The Arapaima scale combines a heavily mineralized outer layer with an internal design that helps the scale resist the piranha's razor-like bite. The mix of materials is similar to the hard enamel of a tooth deposited over softer dentin. In the case of Arapaima, the ingeniously designed scales serve as peace through strength, allowing them to coexist with piranha when the two are crowded into Amazon basin lakes during the region's dry season. The combination of hard and soft materials give the scales several ways to repel the bite. The scales overlap like shingles on the fish, and each scale has a very hefty mineralized layer on top of it. Underneath, each scale is composed of much softer collagen fibers, stacked in alternating directions like a pile of plywood. The external surface is twice as hard as the internal layer, giving the fish a layer of dense armor. At the same time, the structure of the internal layer lends toughness to the scale. As you stack the layers of fibers in this way, they have different orientations, which gives strength that is the same in all directions. From the abalone shell to the toucan's beak, the natural world is replete with inspiration for 21st century material scientists. It's a combination that engineers would like to reproduce for applications such as soldiers' body armor, which needs to be both tough and flexible. Other applications might include fuel cells, insulation, and aerospace designs. And now for the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, George Carlin. I will give no biography as he has been previously quoted. Here's the quote from George Carlin. Sex always has consequences. When Hitler's mother spread her legs that night, she effectively canceled out the spreading of 15 to 20 million other pairs of legs.
Are you ready, Bruce?